This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Today, we start a new series of messages dealing with the most important institution on the face of the earth. Anybody have any idea what it might be? The church. The church of Jesus Christ. The most important institution on the face of the earth. What we're going to deal with in this series of messages is this concept. God has a great purpose for his church. And he has a great purpose for me in his church. God has a great purpose for his church, and he has a great purpose for me in his church. So the question that we want to answer in this series of messages is, what does God require of me to help fulfill his purpose for the church and his purpose for me in his church? Well, in order to answer that question, the first thing we need to know is, what is the church all about? And that's what we're going to deal with today. From Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we read it this morning. It says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, "I will build my church." Guess what? He invented the church. He's the one who created it. He's the one who put it into being. And you know what that means? If he is the one who created the church, he is the one who gets to define what the church is. What that says is, man didn't invent the church, and man can't change it. You know, we live in an age when everybody wants to change things around to be the way they want it to be. You drive up to the drive-in burger house and you don't like the way they cook their burgers, what do they say? Have it your own way. Amen? God designed the church to function in a certain way, and we can't change it. In other words, the church will not change for us. We must change for the church. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We got to learn how to operate in the church of Jesus Christ the way he set it up, and not the way we want it to be, not the way somebody's tradition says it's supposed to operate, not the way our denominational background has brought it up to us to this point, but the way Jesus set it up to be. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Do you see what Paul is saying? He says, look, I need to write to you so that you can understand how to conduct yourself in the church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you do not automatically know. How many of you know that the church is not only the most important institution on the face of the earth, it is different from any other institution on the face of the earth? What you learned on your job, what you learned in your club, what you learned in school, all of that does not apply in the church, because Jesus set his church up to reflect the kingdom of God. So that means we've got to learn how to conduct ourselves in the church of Jesus Christ. It is not automatic. Here's the second thing that we need to understand from the fact that Christ created the church. He created it for a purpose. He created it for a purpose. And when something is created for a purpose, the only way that it is any good is when it is fulfilling its purpose. Priscilla's car was created for a purpose, to get her from point to point, to allow her to have mobility, to go wherever she wants to go. Right now, her car is not fulfilling purpose because it's sitting on the lot waiting to be fixed. Amen? That means right now, it is totally useless. Isn't that right? Amen. Guess what? When we are not fulfilling the purpose for which God created us, you know what we are? Useless. Amen. Useless. What is the purpose for which Christ created the church? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the what? Body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ. What does that mean? Put your hand out in front of you. Take a look at it. Wiggle it. Now, why are your fingers doing that? Because you decided to wiggle your fingers, didn't you? I asked you to do that, and you did it. Isn't that right? Now, what would happen if your fingers just started wiggling by themselves? You'd be going down to the emergency room, wouldn't you? Why? Because this is your body. And you expect it as your body to be responsive to your will and your command. Isn't that right? If it goes off and starts doing things on its own, something's wrong. So your brain, your head commands, and you expect your body to follow whatever that command is. Now, who is the head of the church? Jesus is. Jesus Christ. It says we are his body. What does that mean? We are responsive to the head. Isn't that right? We are responsive to the head. And anytime we go out doing something on our own, we're in trouble. Amen. Now, here's the other thing about it. How many of you are intelligent people? How many of you know you got some high brain power? Come on. All right. Amen. Now, here's my glass of water. I want some of you that have a lot of brain power to bring this glass of water to you without moving out of your seat. All you got to do is think. It doesn't seem to be moving. Why? Catch it. You are intelligent. I know you are. Amen. You do have brain power. Praise God. But in order for you to operate in this world, you've got to have a body that can reach out at your command, do what you command it to do in order for you to operate in the world. My brain is not just going to make this glass move. I have to command my arm, command my hand. Then it moves out and causes the glass to move. Guess what? Jesus is the same way. We are his body on the earth. When he gets ready to do something in the earth, guess how he does it? He commands his body. That's why we are here. We are the body of Christ. We are here to carry out the will of Jesus Christ on the earth. Everything that Jesus did while he was on the earth, he is still doing today. Do you know that? Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven, but what? I am leaving my body here. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that I give to you, my body now carries out everything that I command and everything that I want to accomplish on the earth. Go over to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Look at what Jesus said his mission is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Do you see what our role is, what our mission is? Jesus said, my mission, what I came to this earth to do, was to preach good news. Amen? That's what the gospel is, good news. You can have a new life in Jesus Christ. You don't have to remain in whatever box you were in. You don't have to remain in that trap that Satan set for you. You can be a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you can live forever, praise God. That's good news. That's good news. He said he came to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody here know somebody who has a broken heart? somebody who is sorrowful and sad because of what life has done to them. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Well, guess what? Who's now in the business of healing the brokenhearted? That's what his body is here for. That's what the church is here for. The church's mission on earth today is number one, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But number two, then to move on to dealing with people in the love of Christ so that somebody gets healed. Somebody gets delivered. Somebody gets set free. It says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Anybody know somebody who is bound by Satan? They're so dead and lost in sin, they don't know which way is up. Amen? I mean, we got some of those people in our families. Well, understand, it is the mission of the church. It is what we are called for. It is the reason why we are here, to set the captives free. So what's the church supposed to do? Number one, we got to preach the word. Amen? Got to preach the word. Proclaim Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean standing up behind the pulpit necessarily. It just means sharing the fact that Jesus can set you free. Not only do we need to preach the word, then we got to teach the word. When you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ, you don't automatically know everything you need to know. There is still a lot to learn. The scripture says that when we receive Christ, we are as a newborn babe. Understand this. The only institution that God has set up to teach his people his ways is the Church of Jesus Christ. God does not have any other plan. The church is God's plan for carrying out his will on the earth today. And guess what? We often look at the church and say, you know, the church is messed up. Let me just see. How many of you have ever said something like that? The church is messed up. Let me just see. Come on. Uh-huh. Honesty. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you know why that is? We say that. We look and we see all the imperfections in the church. Isn't that right? How many of you know that the church is imperfect? We can raise both hands on that. Come on. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to talk in a minute about why that is, but catch this. That perception that the church is ineffective, is messed up, has no power, that perception is incorrect. Why? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is going to do the job that Christ put it here to do. The church is going to win. Worked in your case, didn't it? If it wasn't for the church, you'd still be in whatever pit you were. Isn't that right? You still be living that messed up life you were living before Jesus caught a hold of you. Because guess what? If it was not for the church, how would you have ever heard? How would you have ever heard? Who would ever have nurtured you? Who would ever have walked by your side, put their arm around you, and said, what Jesus did for me, he can do for you. Let's walk through this thing together. Who would have ever loved you when you were in trouble? Loved you while you were still messing up. Amen? But showed you the love of Jesus. You see, the church may not always be pretty, but it's always beautiful. Now understand, the church can be better. It is not perfect. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. I'll show you right now why the church has so many issues. Here it is, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When this building was built, they used bricks. It is composed of bricks and other material. And the strength of the building is dependent upon the strength of each one of those bricks, each one of those 2x4s or whatever else they use. Isn't that right? Now, when Jesus builds the body of Christ, what material does he use? Here it is. It says what? We are what? Living stones. We are the building material with which he is building the body of Christ. Now let me ask you, how many of you are perfect this morning? I want to talk to you after the service. How many perfect people do we have? Let me turn it around. How many of you would be willing to admit that at least some itty bitty little thing, you are somewhat possibly imperfect? Look around. You are looking at a bunch of imperfect people. Isn't that right? How many of you have been Christians for more than 20 years? Let me see your hand. More than 20 years. Amen. Everybody look at these. Look at these folks who have been Christians for more than 20 years. You know what they are? Imperfect Christians. Been at it 20 years and still not perfect. Amen? Guess what? They can go at it for another 80 and they won't be perfect. Why? Because we are still in the flesh. Not that we're walking in the flesh, but our lives are still in the flesh. Isn't that right? And guess what? None of us is perfect. None of us is going to be perfect. That means we're all going to mess up in some way at some time. And that is why the church is not perfect, because it's composed of imperfect people. That's the building blocks that Jesus is working with. If you find a church that is composed of perfect people, stay away, because you'll mess it up. Amen? So don't be surprised at the imperfections in the church. They are built in because we are the building stones. We are the living stones, and we are imperfect. God planned it that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Look at what God is doing in putting together the church, building it out of imperfect stones. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You see what he's doing? God says, I'm going to take all these imperfect people. Some of them don't know their right foot from their left. Don't know which way is up spiritually. I'm going to take them, I am going to put them into my church, and I am going to make something that is more powerful than anything else on earth. And when people look at what the church accomplishes, as imperfect as it is, they're going to say, it's not them. I know those folks. They couldn't have done that. It had to be God. God says, I'm going to get the glory. So don't be surprised at the imperfections in the church. God works through those imperfections. He works around those imperfections. He works in spite of those imperfections, because it's part of his plan so that he will receive the glory. Now here's the crucial issue. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. We're asking the question, what does God require of me in order to help his church fulfill God's purpose in the earth? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. We just saw that Jesus said that he is building his church. Well, how does he do it? Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a tough sentence, but just catch this. It says, how does the body of Christ grow? It grows as every part does its share. Does its share. Look around again. You all are going to get to know one another very well today. Amen. Everybody you see in here today is a part of the body that has his or her own share of the work to perform. Priscilla's car is sitting over there on the dealer's lot right now because the alternator stopped working. And what happened was, you know, we get it out there and I jump started it about three times. And each time it would run for a little while and then it would cut off. And they told us the alternator was bad. Now catch it. That alternator is just one part. I don't know how many parts are in their car, hundreds certainly. But one little part not doing its job means that that car cannot do what it's supposed to do. Here we are, the body of Christ. Every one of us has a place in the body. And the word tells us that the way that Jesus builds his church, the way the church is built up, is as what? Every part does its share. You may be an alternator in the kingdom of God. You may be a windshield wiper. Whatever you are, you have a place in the body of Christ that is uniquely yours. And in order for the body to become everything that Christ intended for it to be, you need to be doing your part. Understand this. The church cannot fulfill its purpose in the earth unless we fulfill our purpose in the church. Amen? There is no church except us. We are the church. There is no they or them. There's only us. We are the church. And if the church is going to be built, it's only going to be built because we are willing to do what we are called to do. In other words, catch this. Who does the church belong to? It belongs to Jesus. It is God's church. It is Christ's church by ownership. The word says that he purchased it with his blood. But catch this. It is not only God's possession, but it must also be our church. It is Christ by ownership. It is Christ because he bought it and purchased it with his blood. But it must also belong to us. When I played high school football, this was Howard High School, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the Howard High School football team was called the Hustlin' Tigers. So to whom did that team belong? Belonged to Howard High School, didn't they, right? It was their team. But we would often talk about our coach's name was Chubby James. And people would often talk about that's Coach James' team. Why? Because the team belonged to the high school, but he had the assignment of running the team on behalf of the high school. Isn't that right? Now, not only did we say it was Coach James' team, but guess what? I walk around town, strut around a little bit and say, it's my team. Is my I'm a hustling tiger, hallelujah. Now what's going on? Did I own the team? No. Did I run the team? No. But what? I had committed myself to it. I had committed myself to this team, and therefore it became my team. Let me tell you how much I committed myself to this team. I got out there the first couple of practices, somebody popped me in the mouth. I'm bleeding all over the place, but I stayed on that team. Somebody stepped on my nail and ripped it right off my finger. I stayed on that team. Why? I was committed to it. This is my team. And so I was willing to pay the price for this team to accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish because it was my team. Well, catch this. The church is Christ by ownership. It belongs to him. The church is the pastor's by assignment. Just like the coach who had the assignment from the school, the pastor has an assignment from Jesus Christ to be the under-shepherd of the church. Amen? I want to hear some amens on that. Amen. Thank you. Amen. But catch it. Not only is it Christ's by ownership and the pastor's by assignment, it is yours by commitment. When you commit yourself to the church of Jesus Christ, it becomes your church. And you need to be willing to pay the price. You know, I pay attention to how people talk about the church. You know, people come in and they'll be talking about your church. Pastor, your church looks nice. Well, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. But then they stay around for a while and they'll start talking about the church. You know, Pastor, the church is really moving and that's really good. I'm glad to see that. Well, praise God. Thank you. But you know what I'm looking for? before I really want to lay hands on somebody and say you're going to be in a position where you have a great deal of responsibility, I want to hear you talking about what? My church. Amen? If you're not yet at a place where you naturally think of it and speak of it as my church, guess what? You have not yet reached the full level of commitment. Because when you are truly committed, then it does become your church. And that's why, you know, I often hear something like, well, Pastor, you know, you ought to do such and such. And I look around and I say, now, who is this you're talking about? Oh, that, you know, Pastor, the church ought to. Well, who is the church that you're talking about? You know what I'm listening for? Pastor, we ought to do such and such, and I'm willing to take the lead. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Why? Because it's your church. There isn't anybody else. We are the body of Christ. And the only way that Jesus is going to accomplish through the church what he wants to accomplish through the church is when we are willing to commit ourselves to the church so that he can use us to do the work of the church. If you don't remember anything else, catch hold of that fact. There is nobody else. We are the body of Christ. We are his church. And whatever gets done, it's going to be because we have been willing to commit ourselves to do it. When we're willing to commit ourselves to allow Jesus to work through us, to accomplish in this earth that continuing mission that has not changed, he has not given it up. It is to set people free, to see their lives transformed, to get them discipled so that they can walk after Jesus Christ, to lift them out of the bondage that they've been living in and set them on high ground. All of that is the mission of the church, and all of us have a part of that mission. We don't all do the same thing. We don't all have the same gift, but all of us have a part of it. And only as we all are participating, doing our share, will the church grow and perform what it's called to perform. Here's my question for you today. Are you a part of the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you committed to being an active, functioning, faithful member of the body of Christ so that Jesus can do his work and build his church through you? Or are you sitting on the sidelines kind of watching the action? Maybe cheering every once in a while when somebody does something you like. But basically, you're just a spectator. Well, let me tell you something. Church is not a spectator sport. Don't be a spectator. Be the church. And let God do his work through you.